Just in case you're still here and you have a new life class, we are having new life classes today. Amen. How good it is to be in the house of God. Feel the presence of God. Praise God. How many remember the first time you felt the presence of God in church? I know God dealt with me a long time before I ever came to a Pentecostal church. I know He talked to my heart. I know He presented me with truth, presented me with witness. But when I came into a Pentecostal service and felt the presence of God moving inside and outside of me, I knew that there was something different. Amen. It's my prayer that today, before you leave here, that idea, that thought is confirmed for you. Our God is alive. And He's real. And He speaks to us. Amen. Open your Bibles, please, to John 10, verse 14 through 16. Maybe a favorite passage for some. It means a lot to me. Praise God. I could give testimony to particular experiences where God used this verse in my life. I hope someone here today hears from God. I am the good shepherd and know my sheep and am known of mine. As the Father knoweth me, even so know I the Father. And I lay down my life for the sheep. And other sheep I have which are not of this fold, them also I must bring. They shall hear my voice. And they shall hear my voice, Jesus said. And there shall be one fold and one shepherd. Praise God. I want to talk about His voice today. His voice. Praise God. You may be seated. I kind of got called when Pastor Roy realized he wasn't going to be able to make it. I chose this message. I have preached before at Voces Unidas about a year ago about this time. So if you think you might have heard it before, maybe you did, but probably only if you were in Voces Unidas. But I believe it's relevant to where the Lord is taking us as a church, what He's been speaking to us as a body. We've been hearing a lot about spiritual gifts and the voice of God, and I believe that this is right along those lines. You know, God spoke to Adam in the garden. And from what we're led to believe, or the way the scripture tells it, it was a very intimate relationship. It was as if it was you or I speaking to one another in each other's presence. It was so real that there was no question for Adam or Eve. There was no concept of misunderstanding. They knew who was speaking. I don't know what they saw or what they what the circumstances were, but the Bible makes it very clear that God spoke to them and they understood and they were able to respond, that they had conversation with God. That's really where God wants us to be. So that hearing His voice is not some strange or foreign or weird or wild thing, but so that we know that it's God talking and we respond to His voice and we have a conversation. Praise God. They spoke to Him, He spoke to them. The Lord God, Genesis 2, verse 15, took the man and put him into the Garden of Eden to dress it and to keep it. And the Lord commanded the man, saying, "Of every tree of the garden thou mayest freely eat, but of the tree of knowledge of good and evil thou shalt not eat of it, for in that day that thou eatest thereof, thou shalt surely die." And the Lord God said, "It is not good that the man should be alone. I will make him and help meet for him." Now, to read those words, it seems pretty clear what God was, the direction, the instruction that God was giving to Adam, that understanding the conversational relationship that they had, that Adam surely understood what God was telling him. So these directions were clear. How often is it that we have that God has talked to our heart, and we blow it off. We make excuses for it. Oh, that would. But in fact, after the fact, when we have muddled our way through a problem, we realize that the Lord actually gave us a word to begin with. If we'd only listened to the warning of the Holy Ghost, if we'd only listened to the warning of what we knew that the Scripture said, if we'd only listened to the counsel of our spiritual elder, we could have avoided a lot of trouble because God spoke to us. It's not always necessarily, smoke comes in the room and there's a strange light and we hear this very deep, basso profundo voice, John. Amen. Sometimes it's our wife. I heard one amen. I heard one man say amen. I didn't hear any other men say amen. Now we know that's true. But even though God made it very clear and Adam and Eve failed God, he still came back to them and spoke to them again. Genesis 3:8. They heard the voice of the Lord walking in the garden in the cool of the day. And Adam and his wife hid themselves from the presence of the Lord God amongst the trees of the garden. Praise God. He still came and talked to them. That just amazes me. You know, God has every right to cut us off. Because he's always right. But they heard the voice of the Lord. And even though they heard it and recognized it, they hid from it. Let's not hide from the voice of God this morning. There's a lot of different voices in the world today. Some time ago, a little over a year ago now, our Vice President Mike Pence said that he talked to Jesus and that Jesus talks to him. How many remember that? It was like a news item for 72 hours and then it was gone. But a well-known and prominent voice on television on her talk show made the remark soon afterwards, well, if a person talks to Jesus, they must be crazy. You remember that? The half-life of that story was even shorter than when they talked about, because, you know, it was okay to be critical of someone talking to Jesus. But she said, it must be crazy if he's talking to Jesus and he's hearing Jesus talk. No, he's not crazy. It's not crazy to talk to God. It's crazy if you think God's telling you to do something that's in violation of his word. Then we're getting a little bit into crazy. That's half the problem with this whole concept, is that people think that somehow they're going to get a word from God that's different than what the Bible says or than what godly counsel says. We won't bring our wives into this. There were so many people that responded to this lady saying this on television, to say that she was wrong for saying it, that she actually had to apologize to Mr. Pence and to the TV audience for saying that. Yeah, praise God. Crazy is when we listen to voices, real or imagined, that tell us to do things that we know are outside of God's will. Or if we don't know and we don't check. Crazy is when we listen to voices that don't agree with God. Crazy is when we ignore the voice of God. when we disobey the voice of God. Because that's self-destructive. That's hurtful. Praise God. And when I say the voice of God, I'm want to reiterate that it isn't always an audible thing. Very rarely is it an audible voice from an unseen presence. Sometimes it's an audible voice from the pulpit or from your spouse or from your pastor. Sometimes it's a word that you read from the scripture. Amen. I believe it's the word of God. And when God is speaking to us, the word of God, the voice of God, the counsel of God, it's always going to be for our benefit. The scripture says, I know the thoughts that he has for you. They're thoughts of good and not of evil. He has our best interests in mind. Most of all, he has our eternal salvation in mind. I want to hear the voice of the Lord. I want to be familiar with his voice. Not so that I can hide from it, but so that I can be responsive to it. I need to hear the voice of God. I need to be able to recognize it. Amen. He's the good shepherd. His word is true. How many of you... Let me rephrase that. How many people do you know that immediately when they speak to you on the phone, you know who it is? I still identify myself oftentimes. And of course, now we have caller ID on our phones. It was, hi, this is John Seidel. Yeah, I know. I saw your number. But they're, you know, you ever tell someone when they call, hey, it's good to hear your voice? Because there are some people that when you hear them, it makes you feel good. That's how I want to be about my Lord. I want to feel good when I know God's talking to me. Praise God. The Bible says there's many voices in the world. 1 Corinthians 14, 10 and 11. There are, it may be, so many kinds of voices in the world, and none of them was without signification. Just because it has meaning doesn't mean it's good. Therefore, if I know not the meaning of a voice, I shall be unto him that speaketh a barbarian, and he that speaketh shall be a barbarian unto me. Of course, here Paul is talking about the verbal gifts, tongues, interpretation, and prophecy. And he's talking about how tongues are a sign for them that don't believe, so that when the prophecy comes, when the interpretation comes, people will recognize, hey, this is coming from God because it was more than two or three people speaking. Out of the mouths of two or three witnesses, let every word be established. But he says, just 100 people speaking in tongues is not a great witness. The better witness is when someone speaks in the language that everyone understands. And the better witness for us is when we can speak the word of God in a way that other people understand. Sometimes all we hear is the loudest voice. That seems to be the way politics works today. Whoever can get the most coverage, the loudest voices, that's who gets the result. But that isn't necessarily how God always works. You remember the prophet went up into the mountain and he heard a still, small voice. On the radio, there was an interview of a woman who was at a protest. And she said, I just want people to hear our voice. And the radio interviewer told the story how she wanted to be a teacher, so that she could teach the children how to have their voices heard. Well, that I understand the sentiment. You know, we do want to be able to articulate. We do want to be able to express ourselves. We do want to have a voice. But on the other hand, Sometimes we need to listen. Amen. What's the important thing? In education, I think sometimes we need to listen. It's important to be heard, but isn't it more important to know what to say? And when to say it? And how to say it? Isn't the truth important? I want to hear the truth. The Bible says that in the last days, people will have itching ears. Now, of course, that's an idiom. That means that they will be of a mindset that they only want to hear what makes them feel good. And we can look around us and see that everywhere we look. That people are going to the voice that's the loudest that says what they want to hear. But it's more important that we hear the truth. Because the truth will make you free, Jesus said. If we're so busy making our voice heard, we probably won't hear the voice of truth. John 8:31 says this. Jesus said to those Jews who believed on him, "If you continue in my word, then are you my disciples indeed. And ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free." Amen. Notice he said, continue in my word. James said that it's not enough just to hear the truth, that we have to do the truth. Some voices we need to pay attention to. At the top of my list, I put our spouse. That's like the third reference there. I think somebody needs to hear that. I don't know. Maybe it's me. We even need to listen to our children. I know that may go against some philosophies, but we need to listen to our children. Doesn't mean we obey them. We need to listen to them, hear what they have to say. How will we know them otherwise? How will we know how to care for them? How will we know how to lead them if we don't listen? We need to listen to our parents. My father was, as far as I know, not born again. He, late in life, started reading the Bible, which I thought was a great answer to prayer for me, but as far as I know, he didn't go the rest of the way. But early on, and I probably from Bishop Grant's teaching, and I remember Brother Rutherford taught quite a bit about authority and the Word of God, I learned that even though my dad was not saved, so to speak, that he was a voice that God was going to use in my life. And so I made it a point that when I was making a life decision, I talked to Pastor Grant, I talked to elders, but I also made it a point to ask my dad what he thought, because God gave my father to me, and he was a voice that God was going to use in my life. I mean, I don't believe a 30-year-old adult necessarily needs to be obedient to their father, but I think the scripture indicates that you're a fool if you don't listen. Our bosses. Don't raise your hand. But if you have a boss who's a jerk, he's still your boss. And he still has a voice of authority in your life. And the scripture says that even if he is, you still have to listen to him. And of course, our pastors, our elders, and our peers. There are some people, and hopefully you have someone in your life who can speak into your life, can tell you truth. A friend that is honest with you. You know? There are some profane examples that come to mind, but You know, if there's something wrong, I'll use a simple one. If there's something wrong with your hair, they will tell you. You can extend that to personal appearance and think about, you got something in your teeth, brother. And only a friend will tell you that. Praise God. So we have a lot of voices that we need to pay attention to. And God uses others oftentimes to speak to us. And frequently, at least in my experience, and I think I have biblical foundation for this, when God talks to me and I don't really grasp it the first time, He'll come at me from different situations. So after I've heard something the second or third time from different sources in the course of a couple of days, finally my ears start to perk up and it, ding, 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 ding. Hey, listen. God's trying to get your attention. I'll give you another example, okay? And this isn't a voice. It is and it isn't. I'm a habitually bad driver. I know. It's hard to believe. Quiet, passive guy that I am. Why are you laughing? But before I get a ticket, I usually have three or four situations that are kind of like, I could have got a ticket. And it's like the Lord is sending me a little warning. He said, say, boy, slow down. Don't do that. That's your last warning. And then being next time, the last time I got a ticket, I'm not proud of this. I'm not glorifying this, but just to give you an example, the last time I got a ticket, I was late getting to church for something. I don't remember what it was. And I was coming up Highway 51, and right where Highway 51 comes from McFarland, goes under the belt line, the light turned yellow, and I had about, more space than I thought between me and the light. And just as I got to the light, it turned red. And I said, ugh! And there I went. And I looked over there, and the state trooper was sitting right there at the light. I didn't even get through the intersection, and his lights were on already because he saw me coming. But I had had several occasions prior to that where it's like, I knew that the Lord was telling me, stop it. It works that way. If we'll just pay attention, we'll listen, we'll be sensitive. That's one of the elements of prayer that we don't often recognize, is that it makes us sensitive to the voice of God. That's why prayer is so vital. How are you going to recognize someone's voice if you don't talk with them? Praise God. All of these things, our spouse, our children, our parents, our bosses, they're all commended in the Bible. It says that we need to listen. We don't need to listen to the voices on the television. We don't need to listen to the voices on the radio. Do I listen to the radio? Yes. Can I tell you what Rush Limbaugh said this week? Maybe. But he's not my source of morality or righteousness or truth. We don't have to listen to the voices that tell us to follow after the things of the world. And we certainly don't want to listen to the voices of rebellion or the voices that criticize the church or criticize the Bible, or criticize our brothers or sisters. I thought I'd be louder. Or criticize our brothers or sisters. That's an insidious thing. Well, I really shouldn't say this, but... Well, if you really shouldn't say it, then don't. Well, I'm not supposed to tell anyone, but Well, don't. Well, it's probably not right to say it, but. And those that are critical of the ministry, we don't have to listen to those voices. Now, do I think that because I'm a pastor now, I'm perfect? No. Am I above examination? No, absolutely not. But I don't want to hear you criticizing Pastor Roy. I don't want to hear you criticizing Pastor Phil. I don't want to hear you criticizing the Sunday school department. I don't want to hear you criticizing anyone in my area of ministry. If there's a problem, yes, let's deal with the problem. Hey, I'm a little concerned about this. What can we do about this? That's fine. Deal with the situation. But let's not undermine one another in the work of God. We got enough of that coming from the world outside. Whose voice are you listening to? Praise God. Boy, I feel some liberty here. I still got time, too. Jesus told the disciples that the time was coming when he would be sacrificed on the cross. And Peter said, "Oh, no, Lord." What did Jesus say? "Get thee behind me, Satan." He said, "You're talking like the devil." Try that with your friend sometime. Well, I really shouldn't say this, but get thee behind me, Satan. Find out who your real friends are, that's for sure. Yeah. Praise God. I do listen to a lot of different voices, okay? My kids make fun of me because I have an Echo Show, I have an Echo, and I have an Echo Dot. I think they were all given to me, or one. I didn't buy any of them, but I have them and I listen to them all the time. And in the morning, I listen to four different news casts on my Echo. It's my morning flash briefing. Echo, Alexa, flash briefing. If anybody's got an Alexa in their pocket, it's going to go off. Alexa, flash briefing. I listen to those four different news broadcasts. One, okay, I'll just be transparent right up front. One is Fox News. Shocking. One is National Public Radio. One is the Wall Street Journal. And the other one is the BBC World News. So those are four very different voices. And they're all telling what's going on in the world. So I have to sift and winnow all of that. I mean all of it. I don't just accept anything that any of them says. And that's what we need to learn to do. Is listen for the voice of God. Listen for the voice of the Lord in the world around us. When my boss speaks, when my wife speaks, when my children speak, when I'm reading the Bible, when I'm listening to the news, listen for the voice of the Lord. And it won't vary. The Bible says in him there is neither variableness nor shadow of turning. It will be consistent. It will be constant. It's not going to go outside of what he's already said or what we know that it is right. Praise God. I don't want my politics to determine my faith. I don't want my social status, whatever status I have, whatever my social status, to determine what I believe. I don't even want my family to determine the voices I listen to. Are we hearing the voice of the Lord? Are you hearing the voice of God? Jesus said, "Come unto me, and I will give you rest." That's the voice of the Lord. He's calling you to himself. He's not calling you to vote for somebody. He's calling you to himself. Jesus said, no one comes to the Father but by him. He said, I will give you peace that passes all understanding. He said, I'll send you the Comforter, which we know is the Holy Spirit. That was the voice of Jesus that said that. He said, they that believe in him should receive the Holy Ghost. Praise God. What am I saying? I'm saying that the voice of God wants you to be filled with the Holy Spirit. The voice of God wants to give you peace. The voice of God wants to give you comfort. That's how you know the voice of the Father. He's calling us to himself. You know, I came to the Lord as a failing college student. And God brought me out of a lot of life situations that were sinful. But it wasn't until after I came to God that looking back, I saw where he was speaking to me in all these different situations. All the way back into high school where there were people trying to give me a Bible study. And when I was in college, the place I worked at, Union South, there were a bunch of people there that were talking about the late, great planet Earth, all these prophecy movies that were out and that were popular. And all this time, I was kind of like running the obstacle course, trying to get around God. And he was reaching out for me over and over and over again. You may be here this morning, and maybe you're beginning to recognize that God is reaching out to you, that his word is speaking to you, that his voice is calling you. Praise God. Praise God. Jesus said that remission of sins would come in his name. He told the apostles to wait at Jerusalem and they would be filled with power from on high. See, the voice of God calls us to himself and to his will. Praise God. We know that it's his voice when it agrees with his word. We know that it's his voice when he pulls us away from sin and draws us to peace. Praise God. How do I know the will of God? Most of the time I recognize the will of God. I can recognize the voice of God when it's the voice that in a troubling time or in a confusing situation, there's a certain peace that comes with it. And I think, that's the will of God. That's the voice of God. Let's stand. Praise God. So often we're told that, we're led to believe that the voice of God is some harsh, judgmental thing. The scripture says there's no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. Condemnation is a tool of the devil. He uses it to separate us from God. He uses it to cause us to blame God for our sin. Does God point out our failures and our weaknesses? He makes it plain to us. But see, repentance is merely admitting the truth. It's admitting that, yes, God, you're right. I have been disobedient. It's admitting that the voice of God is right. Yes, Lord, I have sinned. And I need forgiveness. But the cool thing is, remember, in the garden there, Adam and Eve knew that they had sinned. They tried to hide from God. But it was the voice of God that came to them and spoke to them while they were hiding. Praise God. I feel like that's what God's doing here this morning. If you're hiding from God, if you're not surrendering to the voice of truth, this is your opportunity to just admit that he's right. Maybe you're wrong. And Know that He has comfort for you. Know that He has forgiveness for you. Know that He wants to fill you with the Holy Ghost. Maybe it's been a long time since you've been filled to overflowing, a long time since you've spoken in tongues, a long time since you've wept before the presence of the Lord. This is the day. The voice of the Lord is here. He's speaking to our hearts. I want to encourage you, if you've never been baptized in Jesus' name, never been filled with the Holy Ghost, this is your day. Like Don says, this is your day, brother. Come on down. God will touch your life. He'll change you. If it's been too long since you've been refilled, renewed, praise God. Obey the voice of the Lord. Come and let Him fill you up. Step out from where you are. If you just want to draw close to God and hear His voice afresh, praise God. Come down here in the front. We have a place, an open area. We call it the altar. It's where we surrender our hearts, surrender our minds, our wills to Him in prayer. Praise God. Someone will be glad to come and pray with you. It's a safe place, but it's also a place of faith. It's a place of surrender. And God will meet with you. He can talk to you where you are, but by coming down to the front, you're expressing faith that He is willing to talk to you. Come and hear the voice of the Lord.